Or at the water plant.
Right.
We do flush the system constantly throughout the year, and it's rotated.
Right, so you have a definite plan.
Yeah, there's a process for that.
Yeah, okay.
We kind of coincide that with our maintenance of our fire hydrants.
Right. Okay. I'm not sure it's appropriate to bring it up here. I mean, they put in a new meter near my house, and then they finished the asphalt rather questionably. It wasn't flat. I guess the reason is you don't have the right equipment to flatten it.
They ask about a steam machine.
The roller.
Roller.
I asked Joe about it. You said
we don't have a roller.
But I was under the impression at least one of the water districts do have a roller. Do they?
They might, but we've asked at points and there's no sharing.
No sharing. Okay. Thank you.
Was that a meter to your house or a neighbor?
A neighbor to them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mr. Olson, any questions on operations?
No.
Gino, any questions on operations?
No.
Okay. I have just one question on operations. It looked like we didn't have anything from the horizontals. Were they shut down or are they frozen? Or?
To be honest with you, I don't have an answer. I saw that as well. Our chief water operator has been out sick since I've been back, so I don't have an answer.
Okay.
When he returns, I'll find out. Okay. To be honest with you, I was a little shocked that there wasn't anything in there, but I got a feeling it might be frozen.
Possible, yep. All right. We're going to consider, or we're actually going to approve a continuation of meetings of, pursuant to AB 361 and make required findings.
We have a motion to approve
That's what I'm talking about right now.
But we're going to.
Yeah, it's going to become part of consent calendar.
Okay, we're really close.
Yeah.
Close, okay.
Yeah.
Another 10 minutes, I go.
We're going to make that part of the consent calendar and approve that. But before we do, Steve, any questions from the public on consent calendar? No. I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent
calendar.
Motion
to approve. Second.
Okay, there's a first, Mr. Zabadi, a second, Mr. Olson. Any further discussion? No. All those in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Passes 4-0.
Okay, just for clarity, I think Director Snyder has to be abstained because he wasn't here for the, he wasn't part of the meeting. By the minutes. He can approve. Let me back up a second. He can approve everything but the minutes because he was not a part of the minutes. So
I will adjust it
to make it correct.
I disagree. He's a sworn in board member. He can vote on anything that's on the agenda. Ryan?
I think it's fine for him to approve the minutes, even if he wasn't necessarily a board member at the time. There's many ways to review prior documents to make sure that the minutes reflect what took place.
Yeah.
Okay. Good enough. Will do.
4-0. General manager's report.
Okay, sir. All right. Let's see what we got here. All right, district. Start with the revenues. We've had some expenses, mainly in the wastewater side. I'll show you those in a moment. But revenues are a little above last year. Expenses right now are on the high side. Those will come down. As you can see, the water last month had a big expense. That was, I forget which one. I think it was GPIA.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of down to normal expenses this time. The revenue is tracking very much like last year, just a hair above. This is the wastewater. Hosni, correct me if I'm wrong, but we pay the electric once a year.
Yeah.
This is
Australian Beetle signed a check for $64,000.
Yeah.
For 1 year, they never billed us for 1 year because COVID-19. So they decide to bill us for the whole year.
Instead of monthly.
Yeah, but because they said the reason is COVID-19, I called and I said, why you don't bill us monthly? Oh, a lot of them believe we're not in the office, so you should thank us for not billing you monthly.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot, you got that. Revenues are flat because that's just how it works here. It's all one flat fee. So anyway, that's what the spike is on the expenses.
There's dots 5 months.
I'm sorry?
It looks like there's dots. Are they 5 months?
Yeah, each dot is a month.
It almost looks like the spike took place in 2 months.
It does, but it's not. We've had expenses, but the electrical expense really jammed it this month.
And something happened last month, too.
Yeah.
Is that insurance from GPI?
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so we've had a couple of months. It's kind of weird because we don't get things sent to us monthly. Sometimes it's quarterly, yeah. Sometimes it's annually. And there's where you get two annuals.
Yep.
Water data kind of goes with what Director Savati was asking about. The blue line is where our current year. The red is the average. The green is last year. In an overall picture, it's actually just a hair above average. Average for this time of year would be, we would have used 123 acre feet, we used 128, so we've used 5 acre feet more. And I believe that's just because it appears that this winter has been just slightly warmer than last winter, up until very recently. Wastewater flows look normal, nothing exciting here. It's actually a little below the average for year to date. We're at 0.089 million gallons per day, and the average to date is 0.097. So for all intents and purposes, everything's pretty much average. Strawberry Creek, the blue outline you see there, you see the dark line with the blue, that is the proposed pipeline location, and we are negotiating that, and we'll have more discussions about those negotiations in closed session. Strawberry Creek Diversion Project is complete. The cost is roughly $350,000, give or take. Just a couple of the final bills will be here any day. We've paid $325,000 already, and we're waiting for the contingency cost for the breaking of that giant rock that took 3 days. So,
what was our budget on that?
$340,000.
Our budget was how much?
$340,000.
Mm. So we're going to come in either at or above, just slightly above.
We're going to be around $400,000. I think I saw the bill. It was $50,000 more or less for the rock.
The wastewater treatment plant, the art school is getting an appraiser to appraise the property that we're looking to acquire from them, and the price will be determined by the land appraisal. We'll have a little more discussion about that in closed session as well. Just give you an idea that dark outline is the additional piece of the puzzle. Aqua JPIA sent us an award, the President's Special Recognition Award, for achieving a low ratio of paid claims and case reserves to deposit premiums. So this took place over July 1st of 2018 through June 30th of 2021.
The same period they were going to cancel it?
Yes.
It's always, I remember, with American Express, I was a member for 40 years, and they sent me a note saying, thank you for being 40 years member, and then I missed the payment, and this is your cancel.
Yeah.
How are we doing? Artsy stuff that.
Yeah, this is Foster Lake. Just to give you an idea, it's still empty.
It's frozen.
But it's frozen.
It's frozen.
A little, yeah, little mound that's there is frozen.
What's your take and when?
This was taken last week or
no,
earlier.
Yesterday.
It was taken yesterday. Oh, during this. That's right.
Yeah. Skating. The snow Monday.
I don't know. I'll get my skates out and find out. Probably fall right
nice, huh?
But anyway, it looks nice. The overview, just give you a rundown, Strawberry Creek, the wastewater treatment plant projects. They are moving forward. The pipeline project from Fern Valley 1A to Foster Lake, the first section has been completed. Fire hydrant maintenance is complete. Barter Wells is still working on their rate study. We are anticipating being able to have a public rate study meeting sometime at the end of January or early February. And the state of California water fees are increasing by 5 to 10% in 2023. And there is a little rumblings that it might be more than that.
Now, could you explain the water fees statement? Is that?
I can explain them. We have the same water, the same structure, the same everything, and they're not doing anything more other than raising our rates. It used to be, for example, one used to be $260, then it went to $285, now it's at $300. Another one was at like $2,500, it went to $2,800, it went to $3,500. So basically, they're raising our rates because it's more expensive for the state to stay in business. So they've raised our rates.
Oh yeah, so that's this
is
the
standard state charges.
Rates on what?
A permit. To have a permit to be in the water business.
And how much is that?
All together, it's probably $10,000 or a little less.
Till now, $10,000 is signed, but there are another one coming next week, $25,000.
Yeah, there's always some kind of a fee.
Richard?
We have a dam fee. The dam fee used to be just to have the dam.
Yeah.
Just to have the dam, we used to have a fee that was like $2,500. In 1 year, they doubled it to $5,000. And now I think it's over at $6,500 or $7,500.
Yep. Is every water district the same?
Yeah.
No.
Well,
based on technically, yes.
Yeah.
But size, type of water, the amount of inspections they have to do, the regulatory requirements, there's all these weird little factors that go into it. But like in our case, we never see anybody. You know, we report.
We've had a dam inspection before.
What did they charge for that separate?
The same as Pine Cove or Fern Valley? Is it the same?
No, they have a, like Fern Valley probably has something a little different because they have surface water. So they're probably going to have additional fees that we don't have. Okay?
Just different fees. But fees.
But on the groundwater side, they would have the same fees that we would have.
Now, and it's different for each district too, because we're a special district. One's a county district, another one's a state district.
So where does our money go?
Our money for this fee goes to the state, so that they can make sure that we're still in compliance with being a water district.
Because otherwise, you will not get the permit to sell water.
How often do they come and visit?
As often as they like, which is maybe every 10 to 15 years.
There are some districts they visit monthly.
Yeah. Luckily, we don't want them to visit, actually.
We get very little interaction. Since I've been here, we inspected the dam once, twice maybe.
Yeah.
The dam is inspected every year.
They're supposed to inspect
but
it every year.
But the state water, they don't inspect.
Yeah. Yeah, they...
5 years ago, they inspected us, remember when they did the Stanai?
Right, after the Oroville dam debacle, all of a sudden, all the dams needed to be checked that year for sure.
Yeah.
But before that, it was like, we get to it, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
Because it was on signs that Chucky remember, like, because they take the 18 feet, although it's empty, has no water, but they take the 18 feet times whatever the price they pay.
Yeah, so it varies, but it's interesting. So if anybody has any questions, I just thought this was kind of a nice little thing for Christmas.
Steve, any questions?
Go back one, Leo, too.
Okay.
I'm the fire hydrant maintenance.
Yes.
Is that to check if they're all working?
Yes.
So you have to open them and make sure the water is gushing out?
Yes. And so when we do that, we usually do a flushing at the same time.
There is some lubrication that we can do, too, if it's necessary.
Yeah. Do we do that? Did we do it just recently, or is it done all the time?
We do it every year or two.
It's an ongoing basis.
About the same time.
Yeah, we usually try to get
it. And that's not included in the when we talk about the water
losses.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, we try to include that. We call it mainline flushing. So we try to include that in as well.
So you know if what you're doing with the fire hydrant is causing the water loss.
We keep track of, we do a calculation on how much water we estimated came through the fire hydrant, And we include that in.
The amount of water that is lost in flushing a mainline like that is probably not even an acre foot total. And when we're missing water, it's much more than an acre foot when we talk about 10% loss or 2% loss where we are.
Yeah.
So this month we were at 2%, which is incredibly good. But when we're at 10 or 15, it's much more than just an acre foot that we're looking for.
Yeah.
Now, painting. The maintenance included painting, too.
Yes.
And every,
The paint, the bollards, the making sure it's working, if it's... If the hydrant itself is not in good shape, it goes on the replacements.
Yeah.
And if we have them in stock, we replace them then. If not, we have to order them, and then we replace them.
Did we have any of them?
I am not aware that we had to replace any.
And there's actually a color code that can go on the hydrant.
Yeah.
There's orange and blue and black. Black is bad because it means that it's not working. You won't see any blacks in our district. You'll see blues and oranges because those are the higher rated hydrants because they can produce more water.
Yeah.
And one thing I...
And ours are marked. And ours are marked.
Most of them are marked, some are not.
Now one thing I've always enjoyed working as a plumber, it used to be, it wasn't a rule, but they would write street pressure on the back side of the hydrant, you know. And there'd be times where I'd be curious of what the street pressure was. That would be cool. Now, do you test pressure at the hydrants?
It is tested. I'm not sure how they test it. I don't know if they're running it through a diffuser that has a pressure mechanism in it. But it is that they are tested. The one thing I can tell you is they exceed fire needs.
But we do it free for you, right?
Yeah.
If anybody asking, is this three? Any customer has the right to call and say, can I know what is the pressure in this three?
Yeah.
So we send the job or one of the guys to test that.
Now, typically, down on Country Club, the pressure is low. And a lot of people don't really even need a regulator. It's like 50 pounds. And it's been explained to me that that's at the top end of the gravity flow system, and they kind of have to minimize it so it's not too high down at Idlewild Arch, you know. But I know Country Club is low pressure, you know.
Yeah, there are a few low pressure areas, but they are exceeding the fire flow.
Well, that's right. We have to make sure. I remember we had discussions a couple of years ago where the idea is that in the case of fire, there's sufficient pressure.
Yes.
Right. And with fire, you're more worried about flow, which is what they judge on. Because you can have low pressure, but a lot of flow.
I see. Okay.
And that's what we're more concerned about. And that's why they mark them for flow rather than pressure.
Right. Right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Next thing.
So there.
Yeah.
There you have it. Oh, yes, I had a general question. Sorry. The general question is pause me. So looking at the year, what are you? Your year is from when to when?
From July 1st to June 1st.
Okay, so what does it look like as far as our income and expenses? Is it more or less what you budgeted, or is it?
The only thing, as you know, we have a lock rate for water right now for 5 years, so I have no.
I understand.
You know.
But what is this situation?
You can tell the expenses going up because everybody. Increasing the expense, the insurance, the state, the permit, everybody increasing. But because I have a lock rate, I cannot move.
I understand that portion, but I mean the income is, I understand, it's based on a fixed formula we can't change. On the other hand, has there been more water sales or less water sales?
Less.
Less. So it's been reducing for that.
Yes, that's why I like everybody to sell meters.
I got it.
Let me ask that same question just slightly differently. If our budget was for 100%, $100, we were going to make $100 and we were going to spend $100, how much have we made towards that 100% now that we're 5 months into the year, and how much have we spent now that we're 5 months into the year?
For the revenue, I'm 100% is good for the base area, and this is the one like surprised me going down. For the sales, because the problem for water, we have two kind. One base, I budgeted very good.
Right,
I know
doesn't change.
Doesn't change, the sales are actually going down. Right?
And so the sales is down 5%, 10%, 20%?
Most likely 10%.
10%. And expenses are up 1%, 5%, 10%?
Almost 10 to 15%.
10 to 15%,
because
okay.
The supply is also jumping up. Like, to be honest with that client, we're buying before like $400, it was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's like 150, so we never budget for those. Unfortunately, we didn't know the inflation will be gone.
Right. Mr. Olds,
following up on that, what was the difference, i.e. profit, what was the difference between budgeted sales and budgeted expense? How much play we have between the two?
Most likely between 15% to 20%.
So it sounds like we more or less are equal now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Olson?
No questions.
Okay. All right, we'll go on to discussion item. Discussion item number 3 is pension presentation from PCS.
Yeah,
how do you want to handle this?
I have Debbie here and Mr. James. And Mr.
Debbie and Logan, we're going to turn you on. Oh, James.
Yeah, from Backlist.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in New York.
Take it away.
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Perfect. Well, thanks for having us here. I'm Logan Savage. We're at Logan and Dr. Tennant. We're local financial advisors that specialize in retirement planning. Our firm is very financially in right below you guys. And I have James Holland, I'm not sure where he's at on your screen. He's one of our partners we use that works with PCS. We're both independent firms that really work in specializing in the retirement planning space. So James and us work really well together on 401k plans and helping administer those, as well as providing that extra service and value that a lot of participants don't normally get in a 401k or 401a or 457 type plan. So James, I'll kind of kick it over off to you if you'd like, and we can kind of go from there. Any questions you guys have, just please stop.
Sure. Thanks, everyone. My name is James Hollow, Millennium Investment and Retirement Advisors. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we act as an independent fiduciary, so the reason we team with Logan and Debbie is my job is to protect the employee error while Logan and Debbie focus on educating the employees and concerning themselves with participant outcomes. Have you shared your presentation with everybody?
Yeah, everyone has a presentation, but we won't have a preview to mention some stuff.
Terrific. So PCS, Professional Capital Services, they're just a plan administrator, so they would take the role of what Voya does for you guys now, as well as any of the TPA work or testing work that needed to be done. When Hoffman reached out, one of the key areas that we tried to discuss was how things are priced in terms of the fees that folks are paying for. So Professional Capital Services is done on a flat fee basis, so it's not tied to the assets, it's tied to the services they're providing. The problem we run into when you have a bundled product like the Voya is they help set the lineup and the menu from an investment perspective, and there's usually a tie-in to what they do with the investments being offered as well. We believe it's better suited to have things situated to where the administration focuses just on that and the investments are a completely separate part, because not only is it cleaner from a compliance standpoint, it's also a lot more cost conscious in terms of the fees do not increase as the assets increase, because Professional Capital Services has no interest in those assets. Their job is just to administer the plan. So I think it's probably easier to open it up to any questions that anyone has, and then we can hit on those key areas for folks so we can address any of those concerns.
Debbie, did you want to say anything before we start asking questions?
No, I just thank you for the opportunity, Hosty.
Okay, Mr. Olson, any questions?
I'll reserve.
Okay. Mr. Schneider, any questions?
Not at this time.
Mr. Zabadi.
Okay, so we have an existing service, which is more or less what you're doing. Why should we change? What are you providing us that's more positive or more beneficial to us?
Sure. Excellent question. A cost savings, because again, the addition of the piece that Boyd is taking won't come out any longer. So you're going to pay a flat fee just for the administration. And then the investments being offered are more expensive now. So there's some retail mixed in there. There's
so I think the upfront fees, sorry, the upfront fees are the same essentially. According to housing, it's 5,500, you're 5,400, no difference.
Yes.
But I think in Voya there is an additional fee on the equity sales or whatever, and you're not doing any of that? You're not you're not purchasing something for X and selling us to for Y?
Exactly. The way the plan needs to be designed is from an institutional perspective. You're only paying retail for the investment you put in the plan, which you are doing now. With the PCS platform, it can be all institutional, so there is no wrap or additional fee added on to the investments.
Now, I know that Voya keeps that a secret. Do you have an idea about how much they charge for that?
How much? I'm sorry. I
Voya doesn't tell us what's their markup.
Yeah, yeah, so
do you have any idea what that is?
It's on the disclosure. I want to say it's going to be somewhere between 50 and 75 basis points, depending on, because each investment is different, and you wouldn't be able to know for certain unless you had every settlement agreement that Voya had with each one of those investment companies, which you can ask for, but it'll probably take a good amount of time to get.
I see.
As well, I wanted to add something too, like James was saying, a lot of the funds and things like that inside the current plan are all basically Voya funds, essentially. And the expense ratio, those that are familiar with that, is basically the price of each of the funds in that account. And basically, like the average Voya expense, what me and James are talking about, is like 0.64, so 64
right.
basis points there, compared to like the new plan would be the average cost of 0.20. So just when you're comparing funds to funds, the overall fund cost is a little bit lower. More of an open architectural platform. You're not using PCS's funds, you're using Vanguard funds, Fidelity funds, a lot more of the funds as an investment advisor I'd like to see people have a little more of the choice over the money debt.
So I saw the returns on these investments as disastrous, but I guess that's true with everyone.
So looking at the short term, this has been a tough year all around, yes. But again, to the point Wellington was making, the proposed lineup is only indexed based, so it's more diversified. So while there's certainly no guarantees in life, the downside risk is dramatically less only because you're literally owning a piece of everything in all of the different markets.
So I was looking at these different funds. What I'm missing in all these, I'm also missing in Voya, a very conservative fund, i.e. treasuries or CDs or something like that. You're all interested in equities.
There is a fixed income lineup as well that would have short-term bonds in it.
Sorry, you froze.
What you broke out there? James, you there?
You're still frozen.
I think I'll put what you're trying to say. We do have that stable value fund and stuff like that in there. There's a lot more shorter-term treasuries and things like that, like he was saying, that is in there to level out the volatility. And that's part of the added service we provide. James helps us a lot in the back end of the administration of the plan. I am local, and so what we'll do is any of the participants in the plans and have questions on their accounts or other funds, that's what we do. And we'll do all the advising, and like I said, we can help them on an individual basis.
Is that the stable value fund?
I see. Yeah.
Is that the stable value fund? I see.
When you say we're local, what does that mean?
We're right here below you guys' attendance, so any of the participants...
Oh, that's pretty local. That's pretty local.
Is there an office here? He agrees that's pretty local.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of family up in Iowa, too, so I'm up there quite a bit, so if I need to come up there, we can definitely do that.
Yeah, those are all my questions.
In the bank of habit.
Yeah. Okay, those are all my questions.
Excellent. Is that the main branch, west branch, east branch?
We're at the east branch on the second floor. We've been
Excellent.
Here about 25 years.
Wonderful. Mr. Snyder, any questions?
No.
Okay. Any further input, GM?
No.
Any further input? Oh, wait a second.
One more question.
Peter has
the lawyers
he says one more question, but
So what about somebody who are participating in this? Can they easily switch from one fund to another, or how does that
sound? Yep. There's no transaction cost. There's no delay. You can make the investment changes as frequently or as infrequently as you want.
I see. Yes. Thanks.
Okay. Mr. Hosni, any other comments?
The only thing, I have some question from the guys here at the district, if you're the president, allow me to ask them.
Yes.
Sure. They're asking, like, there are any guarantee for those funds to be different about Voya? This, like, the question most of the people asking, if we're going, because I need to get their vote to bring it to the board of directors. They're asking if we're going to decide, because if we vote to transfer from Voya to your company, there are any different guarantees to make any profit or income for the pension?
Unfortunately, yeah, no guarantees in this business. We get ourselves in trouble from that standpoint. But to the earlier point that Logan made mention, the cost of the investments are 60% less. So they're getting a head start in terms of the money that's no longer coming out of the return. So while I cannot be making any guarantee, we certainly can control the cost better. So therefore, there's less money leaving regardless from the investment perspective.
And they can work directly with me and Ozzy as well too to help them create a portfolio for each of them that would be a better suited portfolio if you're looking to try to lower volatility.
Okay. Thank you.
I would move on, but I know Peter has one more question.
One more question. Could you send us? Could you send us a display of what's the history of these different funds over the last 5 years? Because it's difficult to tell. This year, obviously, everybody lost money, so we could compare with the Voya funds.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thanks. That's it.
I just had one comment.
Wait a minute. You have a comment?
Yes, actually, I do have a comment. Now, if I was younger, let's say in my mid-30s, I'd want to be investing right now with a down market, wouldn't I?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Because if I was investing all last year, even though I lost, the market should come up sometime within the next 5 years. And if I don't plan on retiring for 10 years or 15, now is an excellent time to put as much as possible, especially if the district matches part of it. It'd be to my advantage to keep investing in a product. I know that there's some formulas involved there, but let's say I was going to retire in 15 years. What type of anticipated return is there in the 15-year outlook?
Again, we're not in the predicting market, and full disclosure, we do a lot of work for consultants that sue 401k plans. One of the issues you get into is making those guarantees and no predictions. And I'd probably be both unanimous, not sure if I had those capabilities. I think I heard a conversation about FTX earlier.
I thought their promises were much better than yours, but.
We're going to stay out of that game, but we do have the equity options that will be available for the folks who want to get a little more aggressive, plus professionally managed models that are in there. So for the folks who maybe want to get aggressive or conservative and don't want to choose, they can push a button and they'll have a model designed for them for that time frame that they're looking for. But as far as the return goes, I'm gonna respectfully peg off.
I thought that would be the answer, so I'm gonna give you one more chance on an answer on a question you can actually ask. Go ahead, Logan.
On that as well, too, like James was saying, we do have a lot of programs and planning software that we use here at our office for clients that are, like you said, hey, you know, we're 20 years out or 15 years out from retirement. Where should we be situated and what type of volatility would these type of funds look like if we went with that? So we can use past performance and stuff like that to help give them an idea of what things could look like over a period of time and work a little bit more hands-on that way. But like Dave said, we can't guaranteed performance, unfortunately, in our industry, but we would definitely be able to work with them and help them get more of an idea of what type of risk they should be taking for their time horizon.
Right, and you could show them a past market 20 years ago that was down and was similar to this and how long it took to come out of that, and if there had been any markets over a period of time that looked similar. My last question is an easy one, though, almost. So how many different funds do they have to choose from?
It'll be between 19 and 25. Again, we gave you a sample list there, but we can finalize that as we get closer. We'll cover every asset class available, both domestic and international, and both equity and fixed income.
All right, thank you very much. Any other questions? No? No? Thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
We appreciate you guys. You guys have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we have a discussion among ourselves about what we
are? Yes, yes, we can discuss it.
Okay, so it seems to me that there is, after he goes off.
Do you want them off for the discussion?
Yeah, it's just our service.
He's gone.
Okay.
It seems to me there is going to be some savings because of this hidden fees in Voya that we're not going to have, number one. I like the idea that it has a fixed income, which Voya didn't have at all. So if somebody wants to be very conservative, they can be conservative. It will be nice to see what their history is over the 5 years to compare it with Voya, how good or bad their choices are. And is there a fee if you get out of Voya to go into a new fund?
To transfer between Voya fund, no fees. This is why I need to...
From Voya to them, no fees.
No fees.
Yeah.
And for No. You need to be very clear about that. To take all the fund, all the three funds I have, $1 million, is a big transaction to take it to them.
Right.
But what I'm talking about, like as Dr. Sherry asked him how many funds he have, the same thing Voya has like almost 50 funds.
Yeah.
To transfer between each one has no problem.
How much money do you have in Voya now?
For three accounts, $1 million.
$1 million for the 12 employees?
And people old and people in and people...
And the way it works, they have to vote to change?
Yeah.
How many participants?
I have like right now current 10, and I have a retiree and quit from the job, almost 4 to 5. So total 15.
15, so 15, a million for 15.
So the question is, if all these Voya funds, the three funds, right, transfers to them, is Voya charging or?
Nobody charges. It has nothing to do. But the only thing.
But wait a minute, but those Voya funds are assets, they're not money.
What do you mean, assets?
Well, those Voya funds are
stocks. They would liquidate it. They would liquidate the whole thing.
So that would be maybe fees on that.
Yes, there might be fees on that depending upon the structure.
Yeah. Right. But you don't see it yet.
No,
I don't see how much of Voya take from us.
But there may be. So we should find out if, in case we transfer, what would be those fees, how difficult it is to begin with. Yeah.
Tom Savini, Thomas.
No. What about the government?
I have to go.
You try to take a bite out of that, like the cash.
No, there's
fees.
No.
There's
no realization.
As long as he didn't give anybody cash.
Yeah, there's no realization.
Once you give somebody, they jump in taxes right away.
So I don't know if we should, well, it's just my opinion. I don't know if we should switch, but there are a lot of questions.
Well, it doesn't matter anyways, because there has to be a vote. And
yeah.
If they vote, it's their money anyways. None of this is our money. This is all the retirees or all the employees' money. And so if they want to, it's up to them. This is just showing us what they're looking at.
Or particularly individuals transfer or what?
It has to be all or nothing.
All accumulated vote, you need to be accumulated vote.
So it's a majority.
Okay.
No.
Each employee with people or dollars invested?
People.
Okay.
Each individual employee would have a choice of where they wanted to put their money?
Well, that's a separate choice, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Afterwards.
They could just go with what the company
is. The only thing,
they have different
as I brought it to the board, like most of the people asking me this question, any guarantee for this one?
No, there's no guarantee.
So they told me if there's no guarantee here and no guarantee there, what's make me to be attractive?
Yeah. The only thing that I see really good about this company is they can go right down to Hemet and actually have a conversation.
Yes.
Voya is not that accessible.
Yeah.
And Voya is not individualizing it. They're just giving them the options and saying, pick what you want. Whereas you could actually go down to Hemet and talk with them and they can see your situation, because we have actually very young employees right now. And when you talk about $1 million for 15 employees, that's because 7 or 8 of our employees have hardly anything in there because they've just started. And so that's why the fund seems like it's a little bit light for that many of employees. But this is very nice, because just down to Hemet is an easy trip for them to get a personalized thing. Because if they're young, they might want to be very aggressive. Whereas if they're older, they can be very conservative. And they can switch at any time they like at 5 years, 10 years, 15.
So we have one participant here. You, Hasley, what do you want to do?
Honestly, it's even for me, and was predicting today is you're going to do more until mid of 2024. So it looks like we're going for a recession. So honestly, I like to put the money in saving, like silent, don't do any investment.
But the problem with that is what they discussed here. If you're making the investment, you're a fiduciary. And
no, what Hosni, I think, is saying is the future payments from this date forward, they're just going to put into a savings account and not go into Voya or any type of investment account. And then they'll wait until the economy tanks at the bottom. And when they see it start coming back up, then they'll start putting it back in.
I got that. But I think for that to happen, the board would have to approve that policy. And then we are fiduciaries as far as those choices are being made. So somebody can come back, as you should leave it in this fund because we made 30% last week. That's for attorney. We become fiduciaries, don't we?
But
yeah.
No, we just approve what they vote for. We just approve what they vote for. We don't make the decision for them. We approve their decision.
Their decision to put in a savings account?
Yeah.
That's right. And these types of programs, I mean, they work with municipalities, and these are in line with the investment policy of the district. So I think we'd be abiding by our fiduciary duties if we opted to go this route.
Well, if we go with them just for the Voya, they become, we're okay because we are given to somebody who's a fiduciary to make those choices. On the other hand, if we allow the investment in savings account, they're we making some choices for them, and we are fiduciaries. That's what I'm differentiating.
Yeah, but we're guaranteeing through their choice that they will not lose anything on that money that they put into a savings account.
So I'm
just thinking like a lawyer. I don't want anybody
to
question my decisions.
This is their money still. You don't question. Like, it's a problem everybody said right now. You contribute for me as a donation to Voya or YXZ for Fidelity. So everybody losing money right now. This is why they say keep the money somewhere like the sinking until the situation, the dark situation pass, and after that, okay, the Hosni has like $10,000, okay, I'd like to back again to vote it for Voya for investment.
Whatever. Ryan, I have a question for you. If an employee wanted to put money into a savings account, not his personal savings account, but a district set up savings account, is that in compliance with our current responsibilities in investment for retirees?
I believe so, but I would need to confirm with our investment policy, but I believe that's in line.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I don't want to belabor this.
Yes, you
basically, these particular plans is postponing the realization of these funds, i.e. it's got to be a plan that's approved, etc. So if we make any changes, we will need a legal opinion that we can do that.
Right, and that's what he said.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. We're now going to take a short break and go into closed session. This is just a ruse to get Steve out of the room.
Thank you.
Hey, Steve.
Thank you. Hey,
Steve. Our lawyer will see y'all.
So I don't know if you know, when you go in a closed session, you can't
talk about it with anybody.
You can't talk about it with anybody.
No, oh, yeah. But I'm going to work. Now, you're mentioning something about sounded like the phrase, buy the dip, you know, in the stock market, you know, when the things are low. Buy the dip, now I'm kind of...
How long is the dip?
Yeah, how long is the dip? Yeah, and
yeah,
these are different.
How deep is the dip?
And a lot of the...
John?
Sign I was going to make sure you had to turn that off. It's complicated. You hit one button, then you hold another button, then you hold it down, you got to count to three.
Your regular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for remembering.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.